Hi, I'm David Smith, and this is In a Word. You know, we read passages in the Bible, and sometimes words appear, and they appear so often that we take them for granted. For example, in Acts 2:38, you hear men and women quote that often, and we learn there that we are to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Or perhaps you've been studying the Lord's Supper lately, and you'll read a passage where in Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus will refer to His establishment of the new covenant being based upon His blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And we read that phrase remission, and we read that word forgiveness, and we read them so often, perhaps we don't pause and really consider the word that's used. I want us today to think about the word forgiveness. The word itself is very interesting because it can be translated a sending away, and sometimes in the Bible it carries just that idea, the sending away of something or someone. In this case, the sending away of sins. Remission is a good word. It literally means to pardon or even to cancel. It's interesting when you look at the usage of that word in the original language and how it was thought through, at least in that day. There were different aspects by which they used that word to mean different things, and I want to give you just a few of those this day. For example, there was a very legal aspect to the word forgiveness. When there was forgiveness, there was relief, a cancellation of guilt, and the punishment that attended to that guilt. It reminds us in the Bible of a statement, for example, in Hebrews chapter 8, when God says that of our sins He will remember them no more. That's what it means to be forgiven. It is that on the register of God we will never, ever again give account for sins that have been forgiven. So there is a very legal aspect to the idea of forgiveness. There was also an ethical aspect to forgiveness. Not only did it carry the legal sense in which guilt would be removed, perhaps even in the scene there in a court of law, but it carried the sense that the trouble that prevailed in a man's conscience would be lifted off of him. There is at least an implication in the way that word is used of the concept of repentance. That when there is forgiveness, something has transpired that a man who is forgiven no longer desires the very thing that enslaved him in that process to begin with. In other words, a man who is forgiven of sin, it is an expression of the fact not only has that guilt been lifted off of him, but in his mind he is no longer troubled from the standpoint of being enslaved to it. He is broken free from the very thing that enslaved him to sin. There was also a third sense, a personal sense in which that word forgiveness was used. It was the idea that where there is the guilt of some crime, there is punishment that attends to it. And now a man or a woman who has been forgiven can say, I personally am saved. Now, of course, in Hebrews 9 and 22, we learn that there is no remission without the shedding of blood. And we want to make that very, very clear. I know in the context, the writer there in Hebrews chapter 9 was talking about the shedding of blood under the Old Testament, under the Old Law, but he's stating a principle that in general, in principle, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In order for there to be forgiveness, there has to be the shedding of blood. And we're all aware that Jesus shed His blood for the remission of sins. If you would be forgiven, you must have the blood of Jesus to wash it away so that the guilt can be removed, the punishment can be taken away, and you can then have, according to 1 Peter 3:21, a clear conscience. That's what forgiveness is. That's been our word for the day. I'm David Smith, and this is In a Word.